You might not know this, but recently the ISI, that's the Independent School Inspectorate, identified Bolton School's outdoor learning activities as being a significant strength. That's pretty amazing. And it's also one of the reasons that today we're talking to a number of staff in the school on this subject. We also have Tim Taylor from Patterdale and, of course, three of the pupils from school. The party's happening inside. Let's jump into the conversation. Come with me now.
Welcome to Bolton School Extra, the podcast brought to you by Bolton School. In this series, we'll be exploring school life, allowing you, the listener, to connect with staff, pupils and parents at a deeper level. Come with us as we get into this episode right now.
So in this episode, we're speaking to a number of people, but first up, we got Heather Tunstall. Heather, you're the assistant head co-curricular in the senior boys' school, is that right?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
Great stuff. Okay, that's a fantastic title. Tell me, what exactly does that mean then?
A lot of overarching responsibilities really for what we would call our in-school extracurricular program, including lunchtime clubs and societies, but also I have oversight of trips. I'm the school EVC, and I work very closely with our outdoor learning colleagues, head of outdoor learning and the centre manager at Patterdale Hall.
Okay, all right. The centre manager, is that Tim Taylor in that case?
It is, yeah.
Okay, well, in a moment we're going to be talking to him because he's joining us on this episode. Now, you mentioned about co-curricular. Some schools talk about co-curricular, some talk about extracurricular. Is that the same thing? Are they different things? What exactly is that?
Yeah, I think broadly they are the same thing. So everybody would recognise the school curriculum as the academic curriculum, but co-curricular or extracurricular, all those other things, music, art and drama perhaps that sit alongside, although some of those are academic subjects, but they're equally as important and they run parallel to what you might call an examined curriculum.
Okay, and equally important, that's great to hear. Tell me why so then?
Because of the additional benefits that they bring to the young people in terms of confidence, character development and enrichment. And it's a real philosophy of this school that there is a place for everyone to excel, to feel comfortable in whatever format. So you may not be really, really good at maths, but you may be really, really interested in another academic subject. Or you may find your joyful place out on the water in a kayak. So there is something for everybody here and so many opportunities to excel.
Oh, I love that. I really do. Do you think that historically we've been placing too much importance on the academic side of school life and focusing on the grades that people get in history, maths and English? I'm not saying that those things aren't important, clearly not. But do you think that we've been missing out on the co-curricular activities in the past, in history, I mean?
I think in this context, in this format, in this sector, we've always been very lucky. So I've been here 26 years and there's always been a really enriching co-curricular programme. In terms of education, I think it's a very good question. So if I look at some of the lunchtime curricular programmes, or sorry, extracurricular programmes, I threw a challenge out to lower school pupils to said, if there isn't a club that you want to do, come and see me and we can set it up. And they did. They came, which was a lovely surprise, but also a bit of a challenge. And it evolved. So now they give me a project plan and a budget and they lead the clubs and they've learnt so much. And I think this problem-based learning is so powerful and that's going to be probably something we see moving into education a lot more in the next 5-10 years because, you know, I think nationally there's a move questioning just how much focus is on exams and retention and recall when, as you said, the extracurricular activities and the broader learning is so, so important.
Okay, well, in a moment, we're going to hear from Tim Taylor. But Heather, do us a favour, could you and just explain the relationship the school has with Patterdale Hall and also what Patterdale Hall is?
Okay, so Patterdale Hall is our outdoor learning centre in the Lake District. We're very closely attached to that. And each of our year groups go up to Patterdale. Every child in the school in both divisions will have been to Patterdale Hall at least once, but more than once is very, very likely. Okay, so we've got a curriculum that goes through every single year group. They may not have a residential visit in a year group, but they will be doing some outdoor activity. Over the last 4 or 5 years, we've worked really, really hard to sort of scaffold the programme and link it to reflection and character development. So this involves some work before the visits up to Patterdale Hall. So, for example, we might visit being collaborative or understanding what a growth mindset is. And the Patterdale team up there pick up those themes and incorporate them into their sessions. So that joined up approach really means that we're able to review the learning and the impact of our outdoor programme in lots of different ways. And it's really about capitalising on the whole experience. So the visits aren't just one-off standalone events. They're a really important part of our curriculum. But I do understand that we are incredibly lucky to have this facility and others on our doorstep and the support of such a talented group of colleagues that really work with us to make sure that these are meaningful programmes as pupils work their way through that outdoor learning programme.
Perfect. Well, let's find out a bit more about this particular facility. Tim, it's good to have you here on the podcast. First of all, thank you for coming and giving up the time to be here. It's good to talk to you. Tell us a little bit about Patterdale Hall and about your involvement in it and the benefits it brings to the children. There's about three questions in there. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Well, Patterdale Hall is a residential adventure learning centre set in the heart of the Lake District National Park, a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's a really inspiring setting. And it's a pleasure to welcome the students back every single year of their school career from year three right the way through to year 12. We see the students pretty much every year. We blend that unique residential experience with adventurous learning activities as a vehicle for character development, for key skill development. So whilst it's great to go out and learn to canoe or to climb or to kayak, we're not really explicitly doing that. We're using those activities as a vehicle where they learn about themselves, about being resilient, about being persistent, and they learn obviously those key team working skills of communication and leadership and collaboration. So for many of the students coming back to Patterdale is like coming home. They're coming to a place that they are familiar with. They've been perhaps in year 3, 4, 5, and 6. And so when they're joining the school in year 7 again, they come to a place they feel quite comfortable. And that allows them to challenge themselves in other ways of getting outside of their comfort zone and really, really pushing themselves on the adventurous activities. We can't miss the huge value of the residential experience alone, of students getting to know each other better, of getting to know their form teachers better, or of learning about that empathy and compassion for others in that residential centre, which is a very tight setting. They sleep in shared dormitories, they eat together, they socialise together. And that's one of the things that Bolton School manages to offer a day school. You know, Bolton School isn't a boarding school, but it manages to offer those key residential experiences through owning Patterdale Hall.
You mentioned this phrase, adventurous learning. This is the first time I've heard that phrase before, but to me, it sounds beautiful. It sounds like a great way for children to learn in 2024. And as you suggest, it's not just about the skills of learning how to canoe. It's in fact, it sounds like it's much more to do with the things that you mentioned, such as resilience and persistence. Tell us a little bit more about that, about how the children develop these skills by doing these activities.
I suppose the evolution of what we call what we do has changed over the years. The language has changed. We once called it outdoor pursuits. We've called it outdoor learning. It's called outdoor education. And we really focus on adventure learning now. Patterdale Hall is a unique location with lots of natural resources, all within walking distance of the hall. So we walk out of our back door onto the Helvellyn Range of Mountains. We have three local crags we can walk to. We have the lake that we can go and explore. So we pride ourselves on real adventure. We're not a centre, for example, PGL, where everything happens on site and it's very man-made. We're using those natural resources to get the young people to experience those activities in a really inspiring setting. So they'll go out gorge walking in February. They'll climb the mountain in snowy conditions. And it's those environments that challenge them, that push them outside of their comfort zone, where maybe they're type 2 or type 3 fun. You know, they're not everybody's cup of tea, but by pushing themselves and by working together to achieve great things, then they're starting to build up those resilient character traits, so that when they're faced by a challenge back at school, so it might be, it's been a maths GCSE exam today, and I'm sure a lot of young people were very nervous about that, but hopefully we help them to review what they've done at Patterdale Hall and to realise that by by planning and by structuring their time and by taking deep breaths and by drawing upon all those positive experiences, they can achieve great things in their academic learning. So lots of transferable learning skills that add huge value to what we do. And they might also learn to tie a knot or to paddle a canoe. But those are sort of secondary to those key character traits that they can develop through their time with us and their time back on the outdoor learning at Bolton School. We very much pride ourselves at Bolton School on participation for all via Patleo Hall and excellence for some via the outdoor learning extracurricular programme that Steve and Emma and their team offer back at school.
I like that, the all and some. That's a crystal clear message. I really, really like that. And Tim, I can hear in your voice and I can see in your face as well that you're very passionate, not just about the activities that the children do, but the benefits that it leads to them, these skills that they develop, these character traits that get developed within them. I can hear that you get a real kick out of seeing the children develop like this.
Yeah, it's a really rare privilege in the outdoor sector, and I've been working in the sector for almost 25 years and 14 years in my current role, to see a student year after year after year through their development. It might only be a three-day stay, but to see them grow from young people at year three coming through to adults going out at year 12, 13, competing at a really challenging adventurous race across the Lake District as the boys division year 12 do, and see them grow as people and to realise that we've contributed to that rounded person, that rounded character that's leaving the school. And they'll have some GCSEs and some A-levels to go on to, but when they go to a job interview, that they can talk about how they've experienced some hardship, how they can give experiences of how they worked within a team, how they've taken responsibility leading a certain aspect of that, and it gives them that valuable toolbox to take forward onto employment and home life as they go off into the world themselves. So no, it's a real privilege to be in the seat that I'm in and witness it. I work very closely with Bolton School. I come down to the school once a week often, and so I see that connect with what we do with them at Patleo Hall, with what they do back at school, and it's amazing.
It's great to hear all of this, Tim. Don't go far away, because I'm going to jump back to Heather for a second. Because Heather, I understand that from the recent ISI inspectorate that there was a report about the outdoor learning activities being a significant strength, to use their words. Is this what it's all to do with then?
Yeah, I think so. But also we've been working together, sort of tracking progress and seeing what the impact of these programmes are by taking, information back from the young people that have been on the programmes. And it does have a significant impact. And I really like what you said about the skills and the development of character as they are observed in the outdoor learning field. But they're so translatable and they're so important. So it gives us an insight that we can apply back in school. So I'll give you an example. In an academic lesson, it's very difficult to ask for help and it's very difficult to learn from failure. So as adults, that's a high risk, high stake thing to do. And we're expecting young people to do it. When they're up at Patterdale, if they're not sure how to secure a harness or how to light a fire, they will ask. And there's no shame in that. There's no judgment. It's recognised as a really important part of learning. And with the time that we can reflect in school, we can start to see, oh, yes, so that was fine, wasn't it? You asked a question then and you understood, there's some failure there with your harness. That's problematic. Let's apply that in schools. And that's really what we're going to try and embed, these sort of habits. So it's not just a drop down one off Patterdale visit and then that's it for the year. We're trying really to embed it in what we do and apply our learning from this to how we approach problems, issues, challenges in school and help ultimately the young people to thrive.
I love all of this. The outdoor helping with the indoor learning as well. This is perfect. It really is. Let's jump across to Emma for a moment. Emma, you're the outdoor learning tutor in the senior girls' school. Tell me a little bit about the benefits you feel it brings to the children by being outdoors, by not being inside in the warm, but, cooped up inside, if I can say that, but being outside, being in the elements and actually, developing their own characters. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so in terms of the benefits, so we've heard a lot there from Tim and Heather about the characteristics, but I guess the other side as well is the physical benefits of being outside. So just in terms of your personal health and fitness, because that's a really important aspect as well, your mental health, so being outside, thinking about the environment and thinking about the future and climate change, that's a really important aspect. The more time that young people spend outside, the more they come to kind of enjoy and understand the benefits of the outdoors. So they want to take care of it for the future. and just an overall positive attitude towards the global environment.
And tell us a little bit about the D&V programme at Bolton School. How does that look?
Mr. Bradley and myself are based down here at school, and Mr. Bradley is based in the boys' side and I'm based in the girls' side. And D&V is a huge part of the curriculum that runs alongside the residential visits to Passdale Hall. So in year nine, everyone participates in the D&V Bronze Award. So with that, they have a section of the volunteering, physical skills and the expedition, which we all run in the local area. We have some students here as well who can give you an insight into that. They can tell you about their experiences later on.
Well, I'm dying to speak to them, but let's jump across to them shortly. But Mr. Bradley, if you're nearby, it'd be great to talk to you as well. Steve, thank you for being here. You're head of outdoor learning in the senior boys' school, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, lovely. So tell us why you feel that outdoor learning is so important for children at school today in 2024-2025.
Well, I think in this day and age, so many pupils, well, young people, spend a lot of time indoors on their games. It's becoming an increasing problem, I think, nationally and internationally. I think being able to provide outdoor opportunities here at school helps young people basically to get outside a little bit more, enjoy the outdoors and see that there's more to life than just what's on a screen in front of them.
Tell me something about Tenacity of Bolton. What's that all about?
So Tenacity was a yacht that school pupils built, and we used to offer voyages on Tenacity to our pupils. In fact, we still do. It was gifted to the Tall Ships Youth Trust a few years ago, and pupils are able to attend week-long voyages on Tenacity. And we've even had some pupils in the past attend a Gold Duke of Edinburgh expedition on Tenacity as well.
Gosh, wow, it sounds fantastic. It really does. And it's great hearing about all of these outdoor activities around the north of England, but what happens outside of the north of England, maybe outside of the country? Are there any activity opportunities outside of the UK?
Yes, so a lot of our extracurricular clubs and after-school clubs, they often lead into a much bigger experience, which may be a trip overseas. We have the ability to, and the environment locally, to train pupils to give them the skills so that when we take them overseas, they can experience some fantastic opportunities. So, for example, we go to Spain rock climbing, we go to the French Alps kayaking, we go to France in Fontainebleau bouldering. So, and all the trips and extracurricular clubs really have an end goal of pupils being able to attend one of those bigger experiences.
Wow, sounds fantastic. It really does. Emma, jumping back to you for a second, how do you see this helping the girls in the school?
Yes, yeah, so alongside the Passdale Hall curriculum, as Steve just mentioned, a lot of the lunchtime clubs lead into after-school clubs and weekend activities. So we kind of focus on what Tim mentioned before, so that participation for all is when they all go to Passdale. And if they pick up on an interest that they really like, again, something that Heather mentioned, where we want everyone here to flourish and find their passion. If their passion happens to be rock climbing or whitewater kayaking or mountain biking, then they can join a after school or weekend club. And that's where Steve and I come in, really. We run all those and facilitate all of that. We run a progressive high quality outdoor learning programme so students can develop those hard skills in those adventure activities if they would like to. And all of those weekend trips and after school clubs lead on to those bigger expeditions that Steve just mentioned.
Wow, it all sounds brilliant. It really does, I must say. Now, we've also got Anna Hoff with us. So Anna's from the junior boys' school and is involved in the scouting. Anna, thank you for joining us. How are you today?
Thank you. Yes, good to be with you.
Tell us a little bit about scouting at school and how that looks.
So scouting's got a long tradition at Bolton School. We started our first scouts in 1915, so we're talking over a century ago, and they flourished ever since. So there've been scouts at Bolton School for every year since the beginning. They started off with the scout age, the sort of 12 to 14s, and then they've expanded up from there and out. So the older children joined first, with Cubs coming in later, not until 1979. So in Bolton School terms, quite recently, really, the Cubs for the younger children. We moved to the current site, which is Brookside, which is converted riding school, which I know the outdoor learning use as well during the week. And the Cubs and Scouts use it in the evenings and weekends. Initially, it was just from the boys division and it was an all boys set up, but girls were welcomed in reasonably recently, and they now are filling all sections and leadership as well, which is fantastic. We also have taken our younger children. So in 2013, we took in Beavers, who are from Beach House, our infant department. And just this year, we've introduced Squirrels. So we now start scouting in Bolton School from reception all the way up until they leave at 18, which is very exciting.
Gosh, so let's just recap on that. So we got Scouts, and beneath that, we got Cubs, who are younger than Scouts. Beneath the Cubs, we've got the Beavers, who are younger than the Cubs. But then we got the Squirrels as well, who are younger than the Beavers. Is that right?
That's right, absolutely. And at the top of the tree, we've got the Explorers.
Awesome, awesome. And I imagine that some of the people listening to this right now may well have been Scouts themselves when they were young and are probably smiling at the fact that the Scouting tradition is continuing. Is it the same kind of concept? Is it the same ethos as it used to be?
It's certainly the same basis, the same respect, the same Scout principles. Obviously, though, we're a scouting movement, which is fantastic because that means we move with the times, so we develop through as well. Our new initiative, which we're coming up with for next year, having done Squirrels this year, is at the Explorer level. The government has put in, through the Department of Education, a new scheme to try and encourage teachers, and are looking at scouting to try and boost the recruitment into teaching, which is very exciting from both a scouting hat and a teaching hat. And we're also looking to extend this experience to young people beyond Bolton School as well. So we're looking at a base that we can have as outreach to.
Amazing. It's great to hear all of this. I'm sure that Robert Baden-Powell would be smiling if he could hear you talking about all of this right now, Anna. Tell me a little bit more about scouting at school and how it looks.
Okay, so our model, as you were saying, is based on our five core items, which is integrity, which fits into the Scout law, a Scout being honest, trustworthy and loyal, respect for themselves and others, and of course the environment, a huge thing for Scouting, caring for each other, exploring our beliefs of faith or no faith, and those of others to engender respect. And finally, the big one of cooperation, which fits into all the outdoor activity stuff that we all do. In this day of the inside digital child, being able to learn to physically work together and problem solve together is a huge skill for life.
Well, it's been great hearing about scouting. It's great to hear that it's continuing like this. Anna, I really appreciate you giving up your time to being here, but I'm really keen now to hear from some pupils at school. We got James, Honor, and Emily. So all three of you, it's great to hear from the teaching staff, but actually, I think people listening to this really enjoy hearing from the pupils in school. So Honor, first of all, tell me why you feel that outdoor learning, this adventure learning that we've been hearing about, is such a good thing.
Well, it really fills in all of the gaps that standard academic learning doesn't quite cover, like perseverance and determination to really try and improve your skills as best as you can is, in my experience, a lot easier to learn when it's something physical. Like I do climbing, for example, and I find it a lot simpler to work at a problem more than like a maths problem, say. So it's building these skills that can apply to the rest of our education.
Okay, so all of this sounds really positive, Anna, but there must be occasions where you're thinking to yourself, you know, it's a bit cold outside, or I need to get up early to go and do this thing. I'd far sooner stay in bed, or I'd just rather be on my phone right now watching YouTube videos or on Instagram or something like that. Is that the case? You know, do you find that there are times where you're thinking this is cold and uncomfortable? And if so, do you find that afterwards you appreciate the fact that you've done that? I don't want to put words in your mouth at all, but tell me how you feel when you're doing these things.
Well, there's definitely moments where you'll think, oh, I don't think it's worth it to go and do these things. But it's really, like in hindsight, it's really impactful and it's really building on everything that we do at Bolton School and the experiences we have here. So there are definitely times where you feel like you don't want to do it, but it's really worth it when you're looking back on it.
Yeah, it's great to hear your honesty in that there, Honor. Emily, tell me your experience. And, you know, we're just hearing from Honor about the climbing that she's into. What sort of things are you into?
So I do sailing. I'm on the school sailing team. We do it around Bolton Reservoir, where the Anderton Centre is. And we do it weekly on Saturday mornings as training for competitions and getting practice and stuff like that.
Okay, right. So does that mean you have to get up early on a Saturday morning as well then?
Yeah.
What kind of time do you have to get up?
About 7. So that bad.
All right. Okay. Well, I mean, it could be bad. It could, you know, given the alternative is sleeping in, then getting up at 7 o'clock is clearly a little bit earlier. But obviously you find that it's worth it and that you get joy and benefit from it. So tell me what it's actually like then when you're out sailing. You know, what sort of boats are we talking about and how many people are you sailing with?
So our team currently has 3 of us with some new people joining. So we go out in lots of different boats, Fevers, Toppers, something called a Laser. We go out in them every week, trying different new ones, trying different skills, practicing for any regattas, competitions that we might be going on, and just building up the skills that we've got already to get better.
It's awesome to hear this, Emily. It really is. And you and Honor, you're both in year 10, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, right. Well, it's great to hear from you both. Thank you for giving up your time. It can feel a bit awkward and uncomfortable as well, especially if you're in year 10 speaking on a podcast. So brilliant. Well done for stepping up and doing that today. But we've also got James with us. James, you're in year 12, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
So tell us a little bit about some of the outdoor learning that you tend to get involved in.
So I do kayaking, and that's something that's available to all pupils during my sports sessions, certainly in boys' division. I've been doing that since year 10, so just over 2.5 years now. So I've sort of gained qualifications and skills doing that, so qualifying as a paddle sport instructor and completing paddle sport leader training, which has meant I can actually now get a job working as an activity training instructor for a local council.
Okay, and James, one of the things Tim was talking about was about how children develop these skills to do these different kinds of things, but also how it develops their character as well. And he was using the examples of resilience and persistence. Tell me a bit about how you find that you've developed as a person, thinking about things like resilience and persistence.
Well, yeah, Tim's definitely absolutely right. We're talking about resilience and things, because especially doing kayaking in particular, you know, the water's regularly cold, especially in the north of England. And when the weather's cold, when we're doing it in sort of December type time, and it's absolutely freezing. I remember when we did our paddle sports safety and rescue course, it was the night before had been the coldest night of the year, and it was the middle of December. So it definitely gives you a lot of resilience, and, you know, you've got going to keep going because there's that end goal that you want, that sense of accomplishment when you've completed something. So it's definitely helped sort of build more resilience and persistence, which are definitely useful skills to have to make yourself more rounded.
And James, just for the sake of people listening to this, tell us about the A-levels you're doing there at school.
So I'm currently studying geography, German and politics to an A-level. So I'll be sitting those pretty much this time next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you probably will be, won't you? And then any idea what you want to do after you leave school?
Looking at currently something like either politics or international relations at university.
And how do you feel like this outdoor learning will put you in a better place for when you go to university?
Well, sticking purely to the kayaking side of things, kayak clubs are very popular at universities at the moment. There's been several times when we've been out on trips on rivers and things where we've seen university kayak groups there with us, so for that side purely, but a really useful skill to have. Or from like a skills and sort of Brazilian side of things, though, that's also really helpful. For example, I could be writing something like a dissertation or something that requires a lot of resilience and skills to work through in order to reach that end goal, which is something you can definitely develop as like a synoptic link through kayaking and outdoor learning in general.
Well, I'm sure all of that will go very well. James, good luck with everything in your future there. Good luck with kayaking as well. I appreciate you being here today. Honor and Emily, it's been great talking to the pair of you as well. But also Anna, Emma, Steve, Heather and Tim. It's been great, all of you contributing to this podcast episode. I've really appreciated all of you giving up the time. I just heard the bell going off in the background, so I think it's time to bring this podcast episode recording to a close. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode, and thank you for listening. To find out more, check out the website boltonschool.org. Now, our next episode is coming out soon, so don't forget to follow or subscribe to this podcast channel so you can stay in touch, and we look forward to connecting with you next time. Bye for now.